And we saw there in chapter 1 where he and his friends were taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar and how God had given Nebuchadnezzar the kingdom and at the time was the greatest kingdom in the history of mankind. And then how God gave Nebuchadnezzar the dream of the image, which he had forgotten. And then Daniel was able to recount the dream and interpret the dream, which outlined human history from the time of Babylon right up until the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. And we saw his three friends challenged for not worshiping the golden image and cast into the fiery furnace and protected by God. And they said, our God is able. But if not, we're still not going to worship your image. And that in and of itself was also a great lesson. Then last week, 20 years later, we see Nebuchadnezzar's son Belshazzar is ruling the kingdom and yet had not learned the many great lessons that Nebuchadnezzar had taught him about humility, about giving God all the glory, that God puts up and puts down kings. And instead, he essentially blasphemed God by having a drunken party and using the vessels from God's own temple in Jerusalem, and God's punishment for that. And the punishment was death. And then as we saw at the end of chapter 5 there, and Darius the Median took the kingdom. So this is now the second part of the image. Remember there was the gold, and then the silver, and then the brass, and then the iron. Iron is Rome. The brass is yet to come, which is Alexander the Great. So this was the second of the great kingdoms of the image, and that is the Medes and the Persians. And by now, Daniel, like I said last week, is in his 80s. He was taken as a teenager. And the testing isn't over, as we'll see here in chapter 6. So beginning in verse 1, it pleased Darius, remember this is now the new king, to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, forasmuch as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors, the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. And that's our title, as he did aforetime. Dear Lord, I pray now that you'd teach us and guide us with your word. And Lord, speak to each of our hearts as you see fit. May you guide us in your truth and bless the service. We give it to you in Christ's name. Amen. It's amazing. Daniel happened 2.5 millennia ago. And yet here there in chapter 3, we see the Hebrew children standing for what was right. And they were commanded to worship an image, which was against God's law. And they stood for what was right. And now we get to chapter 6, and it's happening again. These presidents, they're so jealous of Daniel that they think they can get him punished by pushing the king to make this decree that if anybody worships any god other than Darius, which back then kings were considered gods, that they would be punished. And looks like it's been going on for a long time where governments decide to make decrees that are against God's word. Amen. So we find ourselves in the same situation. But what's exciting is that Daniel didn't go and pray because of the decree. He went and prayed despite the decree. And there's a big difference, isn't there? We were talking about this in Patatu today. You know, what would happen if the government just said, that's it, no more church for 2 years? What would most Christians do? They would just not go to church. They would stop because of fear or whatever, or the consequences. And that's sad. But David didn't go and pray because he didn't say, well, it's time to take a stand. They've now made it illegal to pray, so now I'm going to pray because it's illegal. And there will be plenty of Christians that would do that and say, well, if they're going to tell me I'm not going to go to church, then I'm going to go to church because it's illegal, when we should go because that's what we've been doing all along. And Daniel wasn't trying to make a stand. Daniel wasn't trying to prove a point. Daniel was just doing what Daniel did, which is pray 3 times a day toward Jerusalem. And that's what Christian character is all about, isn't it? Just doing the right thing because it's the right thing. And then you just get into the habit of doing the right thing. And that's all that happened here. But as we see in verse 3, this was all because Daniel had an excellent spirit. He's in his 80s now. He's been captive for over 60 years in Babylon. But he's not forgotten his heritage of being a Jew. He has not stopped serving the God of the Bible, and has not stopped praying to the God of the Bible, even though he's been in captivity for so long and now has served multiple kings. Nebuchadnezzar, there were actually a couple in between for a short period of time. Belshazzar, and now is serving Darius, a whole different kingdom, because Babylon's been destroyed. And so where did this excellent spirit come from? Well, it came from the Lord. Amen. And God wants every believer to have this excellent spirit, but it's only going to come from the Lord through his word. Look at Proverbs 17:27, if you would. God doesn't want it just to be about Daniel. He wants all of us to have this excellent spirit to where we do right because we love God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, in John 14:15. Notice here in Proverbs 17, verse 27, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Where does that understanding come from to lead us to have an excellent spirit? It comes from God's word. And Daniel didn't even have the New Testament. We have so much more of God's word to guide us and help us to have this excellent spirit. Remember, Paul said, Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Christians should be the hardest workers on their job. They should be the best people at paying their bills. We're talking character here. We're talking doing right. And yet that's often not true. So this was all about jealousy on the part of these presidents and princes' part. But they were jealous, not because Daniel had done anything wrong. They were jealous because of his position that he'd been given, because every king along the way saw something different in Daniel. They said, this guy's different. He's got this excellent spirit, and he serves the king faithfully and always gives good advice. And Daniel never asked for promotions, did he? Matter of fact, when it first all started there in chapter 1, he said, we refuse to take the king's meat. We refuse to drink the king's wine. He could have been killed for that. But instead, he got blessed for taking a stand. So these princes, it was all about jealousy. And of course, you know, in modern day terms, backsliders never like to be around spiritual Christians because it convicts them of their behavior. John said, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you, in 1 John 3:13. So don't be surprised if you choose to stand for Christ if you get persecuted for it. All that live godly in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy 3:12, shall suffer persecution. But he was faithful. And I know it's every Christian's desire to stand before Jesus and have him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, Matthew 25. And then let's go to 1 Corinthians 4:2. And every one of us is a steward. And what does God require in stewards? As stewards, there's one thing that God's really looking for. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found, what? Faithful. Faithful. God wants and God blesses faithfulness in his servants. David was faithful to serve God despite being a captive of Babylon and now the Medes and the Persians. And these princes and presidents understood this, and they said, the only way we're going to catch Daniel out is concerning the law of his God. That's the only way we're going to do it. And, you know, could that come here? Well, we don't know. It's happened in many countries over the centuries, hasn't it? Where it's been illegal to serve Christ, where it's been illegal to even speak the name of Christ. That still goes on in some Middle Eastern countries, where if you try to witness to a Muslim and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can actually be killed for it. But would our Christian behavior, you know, back up our profession if we got dragged into court for doing right? Which here Daniel's just being attacked for doing right. But what if it was made illegal to pray? What if it was made illegal to own a Bible? What if it was made illegal to go to church or to witness for Jesus Christ? What would most Christians do? Well, I can't answer that question. But the disciples, their attitude was, we have to do right. And they were threatened with literally their lives. And after they walked out of the threatening, they said, thank you, Lord, that you counted us worthy to suffer shame for your name. But we're going to keep witnessing, even though we've been told not to. So we're only going to get him concerning the law of his God. And so the presidents and princes, as we'll see in verse 6, they came up with this decree. They were essentially trying to trick the king into making the decree. And the decree was really not complicated. Verse 8, that it be, wherefore, or actually, where is the decree? Verse 7, sorry. Whosoever shall make a petition of any god or man for 30 days. So they set aside a month and said, for a month, you can only make petition of Darius. And if you make a prayer, so they're basically outlawing prayer. If you make a prayer to any other god, then you will be punished, cast into the lion's den, which we'll look at next week, of course. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, the windows being open in the chambers toward Jerusalem. He kneeled down upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Again, Daniel's not trying to make a stand. Daniel's just doing what Daniel does. And three times a day, he went into his house, he opened his window toward Jerusalem, and he what? He prayed, and he gave thanks. I think we can take a lot of advice from Daniel, don't you? Look at Psalm 55:17, where David had the same pattern. And think of how many lives, Christian lives, could be changed for God if they just made a commitment like Daniel had and like David had. Psalm 55:17, look what it says. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Now, we're to pray without ceasing, don't get me wrong, but this is talking about actually setting aside three times a day a season of prayer to be alone with God. David understood it. He said, I need this. So three times a day, evening and morning and at noon, I'm going to pray and I'm going to cry aloud. It's exactly what Daniel was doing. Three times a day, he went and he got alone. And it says he prayed and he gave thanks. Which, of course, we have to be thankful for all things according to Scripture. But the key of the whole passage is verse 10, as he did aforetime. Again, David wasn't doing anything new. He had already established this spiritual habit of getting alone with God three times a day and being thankful. Daniel, you think he was busy? He was second in command of one of the biggest kingdoms in the world. Of course he was busy. So, you know, I hear people give the excuse all the time, just too busy to pray. I think it was D.L. Moody that said, I'm so busy, I need to pray. You know, it's all about our attitude, isn't it? But Daniel was a man of character. We looked at this morning, but look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, where we read that when a father has character, his children are blessed. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. The Bible says, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. So he's saying that when a man decides, when a father decides to walk in integrity, in other words, I'm going to do the right thing, I'm going to live the right kind of life, even his children are blessed as a result. That's what character does. And then Psalm 57, if you turn over there quickly, we looked at this in our Bible study in the singles retreat this past week when we talked about the fixed heart. David said here in Psalm 57:7, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Every Christian needs to say the same. My heart is fixed. That doesn't mean repaired. It means fixed. Like you put something in concrete and it's fixed. It's stable. It's solid. My heart is fixed. I am going to be a Christian of prayer. I'm going to be a Christian of the Word. I'm going to be a Christian who shares the gospel. And I'm going to be like Daniel, and I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be faithful to my God in all areas. My heart is fixed. And that was Daniel. He had a heart that was fixed. And he was not trying to impress anybody. He was not trying to take a stand or show off. He was just doing what he always did. And that's what that last phrase is saying. As he did aforetime. You know, the disciples, when they were challenged by the leaders, they said, we cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard in Acts chapter 4. We have to witness because of all that we've experienced and because he saved us and many of us actually were with Jesus. We have to share the gospel. We cannot but do it. We have to do it. And it was natural for them to tell others about our wonderful Savior. And that's what God wants. He wants it to become natural for us to do the right thing. And that's again, what we call character. And if you look at Luke 24, we'll see where the disciples, their whole life was about Jesus. Nothing else mattered. Down in at the end of the chapter, after they had spent time with Jesus and he had shared from his word, there in verse 44, it says, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Jesus here expounding the word unto the disciples about himself. It says, verse 45, he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So can you imagine going to a Bible lesson with Jesus? How exciting that would be. And then he re-gives them the Great Commission in verse 47. And he says, verse 49, if you'll wait in Jerusalem, I'm going to endue you with power after I ascend back to heaven. And we know that happened on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came down. And verse 51, he goes to heaven. But look what happened. Verse 52. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Verse 53. And were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. They couldn't help themselves. We've got to just keep praising and blessing God. And they went to the temple every day. And then we read in Acts 5, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They had established a pattern of witnessing, a pattern of doing right, a pattern of praising the Lord. Daniel had done the same. And just because it was illegal, that's not going to change the fact that Daniel's going to do the right thing, because Daniel has strived to always do the right thing. And this should be true for all of us. It should be natural for us to obey God. Amen? Obey His commandments. Natural for us to pray. Natural for us to be in the Word. And if it isn't, it just means we have a heart problem and we need some repair work. But it should be natural for us to be faithful to our God who's given us everything. So let's take a challenge from Daniel this evening. Just those four words, as he did aforetime, and strive to set a pattern of Christian character to where we just do the right thing because it's the right thing and we know we're pleasing God, we know we're obeying God. And if the day does come before Jesus blows the trumpet that it's illegal to do the right thing, we'll just do the right thing. Amen? Like Daniel did. We might get cast into the lion's den. What's the worst that can happen is they send us to heaven. And that was Daniel's attitude, as we'll see next week. So as he did aforetime, let's pray. Lord, thank you for teaching us from Daniel.